songs. We love them. As people, we love to sing. Whether it's in the shower, whether it's in the car, whether it's to the radio, whether it's on our own, whether it's in our house, in the football stands, even in a church service. As people, we love to sing. Now, I don't know what your favorite song is, but I do know this. One of the reasons that we love to sing is that, well, the words of songs, they do something which just other words can't. The words of a good song cause us to slow down. They cause us to stop. As the lyrics go round and round in our heads, they cause us to meditate on what the song is about. And as we come to this next section in Luke's gospel this morning, we find that Mary, well, she was no different. This is the first of four songs which Luke records in the first big section of his gospel. And the reason Luke records these songs is because Luke knew what God has done for us in Christ should be sung about. You see, the gospel, it's not good enough just to think about it. That the gospel, we shouldn't just talk about it. No, what God has done for us deserves to be celebrated in song. And as we look at Mary's song this morning, what we find is a song all about what God has done for us in Christ. Now, there are some people who say that Mary just simply wasn't capable of coming up with a song like this. She was young, she was a teenager, she was inexperienced. How could she come up with a song like this? Now, they say that someone much more sophisticated, someone like Luke, must have put those words in Mary's mouth. But if you've been with us over the beginning of our series in Luke, you'll know that we've already heard good reason why Mary could sing this song. You remember 3 weeks ago as we read about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and making that amazing promise to her that God himself, in the power of his spirit, would come upon her and cause her to conceive a son. Well, if that promise is true, and it was, well, there's no reason to think that the Holy Spirit couldn't have also worked in Mary to cause her to compose this song. And as we read the opening couple of lines, that's exactly what we're led to believe. Do pick up your Bible again or have a look at it on a device and read with me from chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Like the best of songs, this is a song from the heart. Those words there, the soul and spirit that Mary uses. She's using those words to talk about that bit right down deep inside of us that makes us who we are. This is a song which comes from the depths of Mary's heart. And what is the result? Well, the result is a song which causes us to slow down. It's a song which causes us to stop. And I've been praying this week that it's a song which, as the lyrics go round and round in our mind this morning, they'll cause us to celebrate all that God has done for us in Christ. Mary's song should lead us to praise. And Mary had good reason to praise God. After all, God had given her that amazing promise that she would have a son, and not just any old son, but the Son of God. Mary was given that immense privilege of giving birth to the Messiah, giving birth to God's long-promised King. And what was Mary's response? It was to praise him. Did you notice that? Did you notice that as Simon read our passage a couple of minutes ago? That in this song, Mary doesn't really talk explicitly about her son. Sure, it's the reason for her song, but he's not the one that she talks most about. You notice that? Does that strike you as a little bit odd? Because I don't know about you, but in my life, when good things happen to me, well, normally I only end up talking about the good thing that's happened to me. Even as a Christian, even as someone who believes that all good things come from God, So often, my worship of God is all about what God has done for me, what God has done for my family, what God has done for my health, what God has done for my wealth. So often, my worship of God is all about what God has done for me, as if the fact that he's done it for me is the most important thing. Augustine, a Christian who lived 1600 years ago, talked about that like this. Suppose a man should make a ring for his fiancée, Augustine writes, and she loved the ring more than the man who made it for her. Certainly let her love his gift. But if she should say this, the ring is enough, I do not want to see his face again, what would we say of her? That's what I do when I only worship God for what he's done for me. And I don't know about you, but when I think about it like that, it makes me realize just how selfish that is. Because that isn't worship. Now that's just a form of self-worship. But do you notice that in this song, Mary doesn't do that? Now, as people, we love to sing, and as people, we sing about what we love. And what did Mary sing about? Well, she didn't just sing about what God was doing in her circumstances. She sung about the God who was working these circumstances. Just look down with me. Look at how many times Mary mentions God in these verses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15 times. 15 times in 10 verses, Mary praises God. Mary looked beyond her circumstances to praise the one who was working those circumstances. And that's essentially what we've been thinking about this week in our chapter from that book, Habits of Grace. You may know that as a church, during lockdown, we've been making our way as a church through a book written by David Mathis. It's called Habits of Grace. It's all about the wonderful means God has given us to express our relationship with him. If you haven't read the book yet, it's not too late. Jump into it. You can download it online from desiringgod.org, or you can find the link in our weekly email. And in this week's chapter, we're thinking about fasting. And that's essentially what fasting is. Putting aside some of the good things God has given us, whether it's food or TV or something else, temporarily putting it aside to fix our minds on the God who has given it to us. As people, we sing about what we love. And in this passage, Mary sings about God. And so if you're someone this morning who wants to experience this God-centered, joy-filled worship that we see Mary giving to God, can I encourage you just to stick with me for the next 20 minutes or so? And as we have the lyrics of this song go round and round in our mind, I hope that we'll see two things. Two things that Mary saw as she lifted her eyes from what God was doing to the God who was doing it. She saw two things. She saw that God is a God who lifts up the humble. And he's a God who humbles the proud. A God who lifts up the humble and a God who humbles the proud. So let's have a look at the detail of Mary's song. The God of the Bible is the God who lifts up the humble. We see that from the first half of Mary's song. Have a read with me. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. The God of the Bible is the God who lifts up the humble. Mary actually says that at the end of verse 52, but it's a really great summary of those verses that we've just read, that first half of Mary's song. The God of the Bible is the God who lifts up the humble. And Mary was no greater example of this. Think of Mary. No one was lower than her. No one was more likely to be overlooked. She was a poor peasant girl from a nowhere place like Nazareth. She was a young teenage woman who had got pregnant outside of marriage in a culture that shamed women for getting pregnant outside of marriage. No one was lower than Mary. No one was more likely to have been overlooked. I can just imagine how Mary would walk down the streets of Nazareth, and maybe as her bump was beginning to show, people might have looked at her and then just looked past her. Maybe even they would have looked at her, taken a second glance, and then looked the other way. No one was lower than Mary. No one was more likely to be overlooked. But as God looked at Mary, he saw her for what she was. But he didn't look past her. He didn't look the other way. No, God chose her. God chose Mary to do mighty things through her. And from then on, all generations would call Mary blessed. As you sit at home this morning, I don't know how you feel about yourself. Maybe you're someone that people look up to. Maybe you're someone that people love to talk to. Maybe you're someone that people tend to flock to. But what I do know is this. If you're someone who people don't look up to, if you're someone that people don't really talk to, if you're someone that hasn't really had a visit to your home in lockdown for weeks, God doesn't forget you. He doesn't look past you. He doesn't turn his face away from you. No, God wants a relationship with you. The God of the universe wants a relationship with you. Because you see, this baby that Mary was to have, this special son that God put inside Mary, well, he wasn't just her son. He would be her savior. Did you notice how Mary used that word to describe God? In verse 47, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You see, Mary realized that as well as being a nobody from nowhere, she was also a rebel and a sinner. Mary knew that she didn't deserve God's favor, not because she was young and poor, but because God is perfect and she was not. She would have been acutely aware of the many times that she rejected God, frequently how she put her own interests before him. And that's why when God chose Mary, when he had favor on her, she cried out in praise to God, God, my Savior. And the remarkable thing is that is actually Luke's, one of his favorite names for Jesus. Do you know that? Savior is one of Luke's favorite names for the Lord Jesus. And that's remarkable because it means that it's not just Mary who's lifted up. No, everyone who fear God is lifted up too. Did you see that standout verse from Verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. God lifts up everyone who fears him. God has mercy on everyone who recognizes that God is the master of their life, and so that they need to give honor and glory and praise to him. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. God lifts up all those who fear him. Now, I appreciate that to you, that might seem too good to be true. After all, that's not really how our world works, is it? No, we're used to our world working like the powerful, the strong, the privileged. They're the ones who get lifted up, and the powerless, the weak, the marginalized, well, it's those who remain forgotten. Just think about what happened in America nearly 2 weeks ago and what set protests ablaze across the UK, across the world, even in Bristol today, in the city centre. A black man killed at the hand of white police officers. For no reason. For no reason. And oh sad it is that that is what we're used to. That's how we're used to seeing our world work. But what we need to remind ourselves of this morning is that is not how God works. No. Now we see in this hymn of Mary that the God of the Bible is the God who lifts up the humble. And we'll see through the rest of Luke's gospel, in fact, that God made himself humble so that he could lift up the humble. This week I read about a Christian doctor. A Christian doctor who went to this poor, out-of-the-way region in China. A region to see a people, many of whom may have been like Mary was. And as this doctor went round this out-of-the-way region to these poor rural villages, it wasn't just these people's desperate situations that this doctor thought of. No, he also thought of the God who made himself humble so that he could lift the humble up. Listen to how this doctor wrote in a prayer letter of his. As I felt disgusted by the dirt and poverty, or felt anger as I saw begging street children with injuries or wounds likely inflicted by their owners so they could get more cash, I also recalled that it was into a poor and backward corner of the Roman Empire that our Savior came. His arrival announcement was given to the marginalized, and he was accused of spending his time with the wrong people. The greatness of his heart love is seen in all this. For our nicest dwelling is a dump compared to his heavenly dwelling. But he bypassed all that and visited the neediest. As Mary lifted her eyes beyond her own situation, she lifted her eyes to see a God who lifts up the humble. A God who cares for the marginalized and the oppressed. A God who cares for the weak and the discriminated against. Maybe you feel a little bit like that this morning. Maybe you feel low as you're tuning in this morning. Maybe you feel so low that you're not sure there's any lower that you can go. Well, if that's you, you need to know this. You are weak. You are poor. We all are. Just not in the way that most people normally think. Because like Mary, we are rebels. We are sinners. Time and time and time again, we put our own interests before God. And that means that he has every right just to cast us off and just leave us there in our sin. But here's the thing. No matter how poor you feel, in coming in Jesus, God became poorer. No matter how needy you feel, the Lord Jesus experienced even greater need. No matter how overlooked and marginalized you might be treated, God himself in Christ was treated even badder. The God of the universe gave up the pleasure of his heavenly home to experience all of the mess of this human world. And he humbled himself even to death on a cross, so that all those who fear him might experience the forgiveness that he offers in Jesus Christ. And they might be lifted up to experience an eternal relationship with him. After 3 days, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And we can be sure that all those who are lowly in heart, who look to Christ and fear him, we will be raised up to. That is the God that Mary prays that day. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, it's the God we praise today. The God who lifts up the humble. But as we push on in Mary's song, we see something else about God. Because whilst this God lifts up the humble, he also humbles the proud. Read with me from verse 51. Mary sings, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers of their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary starts her song by talking about what God is doing in her. But as she goes on in her song, her vision spreads out to see what God is doing to everyone in the world. Because whilst God is lifting the humble, he is also humbling the proud. He scatters those who are proud in their thoughts, verse 51. He brings down those who are proud in their position, verse 52. He sends away those who are proud in their money and their wealth. Whilst the God of the Bible lifts up the humble, he also humbles the proud. And did you notice how Mary's talking in the past tense here? Did you notice that? As Mary was singing this song, she was most likely thinking about her history. We've already had read to us that wonderful song from Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. If you want to look into this more deeply this afternoon, get out 1 Samuel chapter 2, get out this chapter from Luke chapter 1, and compare those songs. And you'll see that as Mary is singing this song, she's thinking about her history of Israel. She might be thinking about how God showed the force of his arm to Pharaoh as he drowned his armies in the sea. She may have been thinking about how God scattered the mighty Philistines because he took down their main man, Goliath. She may have been thinking about that great Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, and how God brought him low from the great heights of his throne. As we read the Old Testament, we see time and time again that God humbles the proud in order to save his people. God humbles the proud in order to show mercy to his people, just as he promised to Abraham at the very earliest chapters of the Bible. But here's the amazing thing. Whilst Mary was singing about her nation's history, whether or not she knew it, she was about to sing about her nation's future. Whether or not she knew it, what God did in the past, he was about to do even more so in the Lord Jesus. Think about it. God has lifted up the humble in using Mary. And so, of course, he's now going to start humbling the proud. What Mary sings here, we read on in Luke, Jesus goes on to preach. We could go to any number of places in Luke's gospel to think about this. I want to tell you just about Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus is teaching and he tells a story about two men. Two religious men who walk into the temple. You've got on the one hand a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a sect of the Jewish religion in the first century. This Pharisee would have most likely thought very highly of himself. Observed the law down to a T, he thought. This Pharisee goes into the temple right where everybody can see him. And he starts praying no doubt in a loud voice. "Lord, I thank you so much that I'm not like other people. Thank you so much for making me not like the evildoers, not like the robbers, not like that tax collector over there." But then in Jesus' story, the camera cuts. And he starts focusing on the tax collector. This tax collector standing far off from the Pharisee. And out of the way where nobody can see him, He beats his breast and cries out to God, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." Do you know whose prayer God answered? The tax collector, Jesus said. Are you at risk of exalting yourself this morning? Are you someone who just naturally puffs yourself up? Because so often in life, we can take the good things that God gives us and not praise him, but just lap up the praise onto ourselves. Just keep it coming, God. That's it. That's how I like it. It might be a sharp mind. It might be the power of a position in a friendship group, at work, even here in our church family. It might be the pleasure of riches and wealth. So often we can take the good things God gives us and not praise him, but twist them to praise ourselves. I read somebody talk about this week as I was preparing this sermon, and they put it like this. God only satisfies people who are hungry for him. When we get stuffed on the pleasures of life, we do not feel our need for God. And so he has nothing to give us. If we are too proud to admit that we need God the way a beggar needs bread, he will send us away empty. Are you someone who thinks that you've got it all together? Because if that's you, you need to hear the sting of this song. If we're people who deep down think that we're people that we've got it all together, well, that will prevent us from experiencing the joy of salvation that Mary sings in this song. Let me say that again. If we are people who think we've got it all together, that kind of attitude will prevent us from experiencing the joy of salvation that Mary experienced in this song. And I want to finish this morning by telling you about someone who experienced that firsthand. I want to finish this morning by telling you about a young boy. 10 or 11 years old, this boy, let's call him Liam, started going to a church youth group. He grew up in a family where his family weren't Christians, but through a friend, he was invited to this youth group, and he started going along. He heard how Jesus taught about this God who lifts the humble and humbles the proud. And as this guy, Liam, kept going back and back, well, it's really started to have an effect on him. And sooner or later, he came to a place where he realized that he had fallen short of God's glory. Like in that confession that we prayed earlier, Liam had frequently put his own interests before him. And as Liam was in that low place, he asked God for his spirit to invade him, to come inside of him, to experience the forgiveness of sins offered in Jesus Christ, and to be lifted to the joy of this salvation. But then as time went by, something began to happen. You see, that low position that Liam was in, well, it started to go. Liam started to do better at school. He started going out with various girlfriends. He started having a bit of money in his pocket. And by the time we get to when Liam's 18, well, it had all just gone to his head. Liam was proud. He was arrogant. If you'd have spoken to Liam when he was 18 years old, all he would have talked about pretty much was about himself. But then something else happened. Liam moved out. And as Liam moved out from his home, he realized that work was hard. Relationships, well, they were even harder. And Liam started missing the good old days. And do you know what happened? As Liam was brought low, only then did he start reconnecting in his relationship with God. Because you see, when Liam was a proud 18-year-old, if you'd have asked Liam what he thought about God, well, God, he would have barely even given him a second thought. But no, it was as God humbled Liam's proud heart that he was then able to work in Liam to restore him to the joy of his salvation. Liam's name's not Liam. It's James. It's me. And so as we finish up this morning, I've got to ask you this question. What song are you singing? As people, we love to sing. And as people, we sing about what we love. So let me ask you, deep down in your heart this morning, what is it that you're singing? Is it a song which, like me, when I was 18, is ultimately just a song about yourself? Sure, you might package it up in a whole load of different things. It might be what you look like. It might be having your hair done. It might be your reputation at work or your grades at school. It might be being top of the Fortnite leaderboard. It might be having the perfect family. But ultimately, deep down, what is the song that you're singing this morning? Because if you want to experience the joy that Mary experiences, that uncomparable, stand on your head kind of joy, it's only as God humbles our proud heart that we're in a position to receive him. So can I urge you not to sing your own song? Change the tune and sing the song of the God who raises the humble and the God who humbles the proud.